Hello, we are Angela Benjamin
and David J. Lilly,
and we are both jewellery designer makers who spend every day surrounded by shiny things.
We are both passionate about jewellery
and love learning all we can about jewellery making and sharing what we've learned with you.
Perhaps you're a jewellery lover or creative type, or spend your days at the bench like we do.
Whichever it is, we hope you'll enjoy our sparkling chit-chat, our silly stories, and our thoughts on living a creative and slightly dusty life.
With a few laughs along the way.
You can find our podcasts on all your favourite apps, including, of course, the biggies, Apple, Spotify, and Chrome Podcasts.
So if you want to know who we are and share our passion for all that glitters, then stay with us for the next 30-ish minutes.
This is
Ange
and David with Little Gems on Jewellery
and Life. So, hello everybody, David, and I'm not with Ange again this time. I'm with another amazing jeweller who some of you may know, and we both are based towards the south coast of England, and we've known one another because we both took part in a TV programme in separate years. Kim came first, and I followed in her shadow a year later on All That Glitters. But I'm really pleased to at last be talking with the wonderful Kim Stiles. Hello.
Hello there, David. Oh, you've made me feel so good with your introduction there.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's lovely to speak with you. And, you know, we've been chatting, as a lot of people do via Instagram, for God knows how long. We're watching what each other do. So I have a variety of questions for you today. And if there are any of them you think, oh my God, I don't want to answer that one, just say so.
Okay.
So we're going to start off with, what's your workspace like and what do you love about your workspace?
My workspace is a shed. It's in an open area with a lot of greenery and trees. And really that's what I love best, is the fact that I can hear the bird song and I can look out and see the trees and all the light that I get. So that it is my happy place and I do love being in there. And I find I just focus and I'm in that zone and it's just brilliant.
Has that always been your studio?
I've moved a few times. I've always had a studio with a lot of windows. That's one thing I've always tried to do. So I started off a long time ago in a conservatory, so it was all glass, but I had another shed before, which, you know, we built specifically for my workspace.
Yeah, I must admit, I love being in the countryside, even though our work is very different. Yours is inspired by nature. Mine very definitely isn't. But being out in the country, it's my space where I feel creative.
I mean, I am very inspired by nature.
Yeah. So talking about your work, what are you working on at the moment?
I am finishing a couple of commissions and thinking about some new little sculpture pieces that I do in silver, a little bluebell and things like that I'm going to be making next. What I love doing most is commissions for people, because it's always, you know, something completely different and something so special to the people. So that's something I particularly enjoy.
What's interesting is you love commissions. I find commissions always very daunting. I was saying this with my friend Amanda in Canada. She's the same. And I know it's lovely when you actually get to connect with a client about something that they want made. So what is it about making commissions that really excites you so much?
I think it's the chance to make something completely unique that has such a strong meaning for the person that's going to be wearing it. You know, it has their memories, their story in it. And to be able to create that when you can't just go and buy it anywhere, it's actually brought from nothing to make for this person. And then the happiness that I see in the people, and it's just really quite an honour to be able to do that, to make something so special. I mean, it can be quite tricky.
Mm. Yeah,
you know, you've got to be in tune with your client, or at least totally understand what they want. But I do a lot of back and forth, a lot of sketches, you know, a lot of pre-work beforehand.
So what brings you the most joy when you're making? Is there a certain kind of stage that you think, this is lovely now, I'm past my fear and this is now joy?
It's when I'm really inspired by something. If I've seen something that's just totally lit a fire in me, and then I'm off and I'm making it, and you just at one with nature is how I feel about it. I just creating this thing that I'm so happy to be doing, and it's just going right and it's all working, and I'm like, yes, I'm actually making this, and this three-dimensional piece is coming to life. It's just, yeah, I love it.
Brilliant. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of your work is inspired by apple blossom.
Oh, one of the flowers is apple blossom. Yes, I do like a bit of blossom this time of year and when apple trees are covered. So that's really good.
So are there other favourite organic forms that you like to recreate in jewellery?
Well, it's mainly flowers, I have to be honest, but it's all sorts of flowers. I mean, one of the pieces I'm most proud of is a passion flower that I made a few years ago, and it's life size. And the soldering ability in that, well, I mean, I even surprised myself because there's fine wires and there's the big chunky center, and there was a lot of skill went into making that, and that is one piece I'm not going to be selling.
That sounds amazing. Does it feature anywhere where people can go and see it? Is it on your Instagram feed or is it on your website?
It'll be on my Instagram feed, but it's not, well, it may be on my website actually, but it's not for sale because that's something that's really special to me, and that's one I wear every now and then.
That's lovely. That really is. So we now know what brings you the most joy when it comes to making jewellery. Which is the bit that you would, you know, if you could avoid it, would you avoid? Is there a bit? Maybe there isn't.
No. Well, I always say to people that this is my style and this is how I work. It's very free. It's very organic. So if somebody was after something geometric, I would say, well, I'm probably not going to do that because I don't like working in that way. But it's probably something that you enjoy a lot more than I would.
Uh-huh. All right. Excellent. Well, I think we always need to play to our strengths anyway, don't we? It doesn't make any sense to suddenly go completely off-piste. So who else as a creative do you find inspiration from? Are there other jewellers or artists in other forms that really excite you when you see their work?
There's an artist called Shoto Suzuki. I think he's Japanese. Does the most incredible floral metal work. Never seen anything like it. I mean, that's aspirational for me. I just think it's totally amazing. I love a lot of Art Nouveau. The sort of staircases and the wrought iron work and all that sort of thing I find very inspirational. And there are a lot of jewellers out there that I admire as well for very many different reasons.
We know you like making commissions. So have you had a particular commission to date, which was probably, you know, outstanding compared to the others that really brought you an enormous amount of satisfaction?
Tricky question. I did a heart recently that was absolutely covered in little tiny flowers and gemstones and really quite fiddly to make, but when it was all done, it was a remodel, so it was using the client's gold and diamonds as well. Yeah, really quite an awful lot of work in that, and that was lovely to make and think, yes, look at that when it's all finished and you can just see it and it's proud of it.
That's outstanding. That sounds wonderful. So talking about gemstones, do you have a favorite gemstone that you like to use or like to wear?
I love aquamarine and I like diamonds. They're my favorites. I've done some quite tricky work with emeralds. I did a hollow form one of my pod necklaces, and the forms were, you know, they were silversmith hollow. And then I had to put emeralds all over them. And I'm like, oh, how am I going to do that? Because I didn't want to push down too hard and, you know, flatten the form. But I did it. I was really, yeah, proud of it when it was done. But I think emeralds I tend to steer away from because they're so brittle, aren't they?
They are. Yes. It's not a gem that I would, as much as I love emeralds and they're my birthstone, I wouldn't think I have the skills yet to be confident enough to really work with them. If I'm going to go green, I'll probably go peridot because I think I feel more confident using them. Not that they're much harder.
No, you'll go there, though. I mean, practice makes perfect, isn't it?
Absolutely. And talking about practice make perfect, if you were chatting with somebody who wanted to become a jeweller, what would be your kind of top tip for how they should start out?
I think probably really look into the business side, which I didn't until a long way down the line, because I consider myself more of an artist, which is probably totally the wrong way to go about it. So I think if you really wanted to have a business as a jeweler, you need to get that business side right from the start and then learn everything you can.
Very true. Yes. I know a lot of artists who are hopeless at business because they've never actually had the opportunity or the inclination to go and learn, you know, how to run a business. And I know lots of times I don't want to be interested in the fact that I'm running a business. I just want to sit down and make. So it is very tempting to kind of forget the bit that actually brings in the money. So otherwise, it's basically a hobby, isn't it?
Well, that's true. But I think if you're more arty, I think the business side of it is totally alien to how you think. That's my personal take on it anyway. And, you know, you like sitting quietly, getting on with what you do. And I think the business, all those skills are a different, they're a different skill set. And it's quite hard to sort of train yourself to do all the things that you need to do. I mean, I think you and I have had some dealings with Jewelers Academy, unless I'm wrong.
We have.
I've been studying hard and trying to take in all that extra information that I hadn't previously come across.
Yeah, sometimes it sticks and sometimes it doesn't. I know exactly what you mean. People like to categorise jewellery and jewellers into, you know, fine jewellery, contemporary jewellery, art jewellery. Where do you feel your work sits?
I would say I'm an art jeweller. I mean, it's not your usual jewellery. I think it's a bit different. It's a little bit, you've got to be a bit brave to wear it, perhaps, some of the more elaborate pieces anyway. And I don't think I fit in. Well, I mean, I don't think I fit into contemporary jewellery because it's so floral and contemporary seems quite pared back to my mind. And fine jewellery, when I get the chance, bit of gold, lovely. Yeah, but I think it's quite hard to actually categorise me into one corner and say that's what you are.
So you're in a category of your own. That's lovely. I like that idea. Do you think you have or you've brought particular skills to your jewellery making that are peculiar to you?
Yes, I think so. I think the way I work, which is very, it's free, and I use my torch almost like a paintbrush. And I think I almost work by, difficult to explain. I don't sort of pin anything down or I'm not precise. I'm totally the other way. But that's why I feel my work is so organic and lifelike, because I want it to have the movement that the real flowers have. And to do that, you know, I cut things out freehand and all that sort of stuff. And it was, I trained, I've got a degree, which I got a long time ago, over 30 years ago. So I've done the formal training. And then over the years, I've kind of gone off and in my own direction and adapted what I've learned and what I do. Yeah. So it's kind of my thing, my way.
I love that. Yes. I mean, your work has a very distinctive look to it. It may be, you know, floral, organic. But as soon as I see a piece of your work, I know it's yours before I have to think about it, which is lovely.
No, thank you.
No, no problem at all. So we both took part in All the Glitters, and I know I had fun doing it. And people always ask me, you know, was it worthwhile? And my answer is yes. Didn't make a huge difference to my career as a jeweler. It did bring in new clients who hadn't found me before, but I enjoyed the whole process, and because it was so peculiar and so unlike anything to do with normal life. And I know people would love to get your take on, you know, was it something you were glad you did, or would you run from the hills if you were invited to do something like that again?
Well, I really entered because I was at a stage in my life where I thought, if I don't do something now, that's it, it's all downhill. And I saw it and I thought, I'm going to go for this. I'm going to do it for myself. That is, I wanted to push myself. And people said to me, oh, you're so brave. I wasn't brave. I literally wanted to see what I could achieve. And I had an absolute blast. I thought it was an incredible time. I mean, as you say, it didn't bring in a huge difference to my business. I had, you know, a couple of nice commissions afterwards, but it's done me a lot of good. I think it's made me a lot more confident and a lot more able to talk about what I do. I had such a good time, and all the people that I were there with them, and we're still talking occasionally now, and it's just brilliant, really. I mean, there was no backstabbing or anything like that. Everyone was so supportive, and it was a huge lark, actually. I thought it was amazing, and I would possibly do it again.
Yeah, I think that is very close to how I think about it as well. And I know people keep saying, oh, you're going to do Bake Off or something like that now. And I don't think I would do that one. I think I might do something else in jewellery if something came up. But I can't imagine going on and doing baking or something like that. I don't know it well enough anymore. That was a long time ago for me.
So you were a baker, were you?
Well, I trained in a hotel management. And as such, we learned to do everything in the kitchen as well. And baking was my favourite part of that. I think I bake too often still, mind you. Or we eat too much of what I bake. Too often.
Aww.
So we'll have to give that one up. So if we were to bump into you, not when you're being a jeweler, but when you're, say, on holiday, where might we find you in your favourite holiday spot?
I go sailing quite a bit. Favourite holiday spot, Lake Como, amazing place. You could possibly catch me in Disney World if I came with just some extra money. I'm not really sitting around on a beach person.
I can understand that myself. So have you ever sailed down to the Med? Than your sailing experts?
No, furthest we've gone is to Scilly Isles, which felt like quite an achievement anyway, frankly.
It does. It sounds like a long way. We have some friends who have a boat down in Brixham, and we went out sailing with them. And though we didn't do any of the actual sailing per se, yeah, going all that far when there isn't much land to be seen seems a bit daunting. So is something you've always done?
About the last 10 years in sailing, yeah.
Okay. So how did you get into sailing?
Well, hubby said, I want a boat. kept saying, I want a boat. And I said, just get a damn boat. You might be dead next year. So we started out with a small boat, and then now we have a slightly bigger boat, which is more comfortable. And yeah, that's what we do when we can.
Fantastic. So what other hobbies do you have when you have some spare time?
I walk. I like to get out into the fresh air, get out and about, go to the beach, go through the woods. That's pretty much what I do, actually. Hobbies, I do a lot of needlework when I can, bit of knitting, but I prefer to be outside.
At being in where you are in Hampshire, you've got lots of opportunities for getting out on the beach and up into the country quite easily, haven't you?
Absolutely. Yep. Love it, don't you?
Yeah. It certainly is. I mean, I do too. I mean, I know we are intending to move to Canada, but we're going to somewhere that's got lots of water and woods as well. So we're just changing one woods and water to a kind of larger version. But so I'm totally with you. We at this time of year as well, being outside.
That'll be amazing then.
Yes, hopefully it will. We'll see what comes there. I will keep everybody posted. Thinking about what we find outside, we often find organic things, obviously, and one of them is fruits. So if you were a fruit, what fruit would you be?
Maybe a pear. Quite sweet and rounded.
Okay, does what it says on the tin. That's what you're telling me, isn't it? Excellent.
So what about you? What fruit are you then?
I really don't know. You know, nobody's asked me that back before now. And I don't know. It's funny because Sunny said he was a dragon fruit because it looked exotic on the outside, but inside it was quite plain. And he felt that was him. Yeah. I don't know what fruit I would be. Probably a prickly pear, because actually I can be quite prickly, but inside I'm actually quite juicy, something like that. So we know you've been making fantastic jewellery for a few years. What's the plans for the next 5 years?
I'm kind of thinking seriously about what to do because my hands are now quite painful. So I am trying to get a lot of work into galleries, which I am doing. I am spreading my my empire, but still currently thinking what the next step is.
Where might we find your work in galleries now? Is this just in the UK or is it abroad?
It's just in the UK at the minute, but I'm looking to get more work out there.
Brilliant. Personally, I found I don't know if you're a member of them, the Society of North American Goldsmiths.
No, not heard of them.
Well, they have international members, so I'm an international member, and they have been very useful for finding different places to get your work exhibited. So it might be
that
worth having a look.
Be helpful, don't think.
No,
yeah, thank you, David. I will, because you know when it's something a little bit out of the ordinary, not everybody's interested in it.
No, exactly. But I think on the other side of that, when it is out of the ordinary, the right people are suddenly excited by it.
Well, it's finding more, isn't it?
It's hard work. I mean, I think with any business, I think you'll agree, you spend more time actually actively marketing yourself than you do making in the end.
Yeah.
And talking about making, we know you work in silver and gold with precious and semi-precious gems. Are there any other materials that you enjoy working in?
I've done a bit of work with ebony. Quite enjoyed that. It was pretty messy, but it's a really nice wood. And I've used that before in the past, and I love how it polishes up. I did a collaboration actually with a street artist a few years ago. Called My Dog Size. He's actually quite big now. I think you would find him quite easily. And I made a diving helmet in brass and copper go with part of his artwork that he did on flat cans. So that was quite interesting to make that. But mainly it's gold and silver.
Fair enough. I must admit, I enjoy using the materials as well. But I find sometimes I like to delve into something which just excites me. And a bit like ebony, I was thinking about trying some things in jet, but I haven't got round to it yet. It's just finding the time, isn't it?
I do mean to get back into enamelling, which I used to love. It's kind of, I've got the kiln, I've got the enamels. It's actually, say, finding the time to sort of set aside, right, that is when I'm going to have a go at that again.
Yes, I can imagine your work would be quite amazing with some additional colour in the form of enamel as well. We know you don't listen to podcasts, Do you have the radio on in the studio?
I actually love to be quiet. This is something that I need peace. And to be able to just sit quietly and not be disturbed and be aware of the noises around me, just the natural noises and the bird song and things is really what I most enjoy. So I actually don't have a radio on, and I very rarely have music on anywhere, really. Sometimes in the car, but yeah.
Okay, so... Do you teach? Do you actually offer classes for students to come and learn?
I don't do that. I have done in the past. I've done wedding ring courses for couples, but I like my space for myself.
We're getting towards the kind of the end of the time together. Where can people find you online and offline?
I'm obviously Instagram, Facebook, have a website, have an Etsy shop, and I am in quite a few galleries on the Isle of Wight because that's where I'm based. And I have just recently had some work accepted into Leeds Gallery, way up the other end of the country. So you can find some of my work in Leeds Gallery.
Wow.
And I do a lot of fairs, craft fairs.
Right. And they are they in the south of England, or do you travel around the country doing the craft fairs?
I have travelled around this year. They're just currently on the Isle of Wight, but I do apply for a number of fairs, and I used to get into the London ones and all sorts, but since I've moved down here, I haven't travelled.
That's fine. So we will put up your Instagram and website details and your Etsy details so people can find you through that. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming and having a chat today.
Oh, thank you, David. It's been really nice. And I was expecting some really embarrassing questions or ones, you know, awkward ones, but there weren't any. It was all good. So thank you very much. It's been really nice.
No, it's been an absolute pleasure. I look forward to seeing you probably online somewhere soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode and come back to us in another couple of weeks for the next one. In the meantime, also thanks to Alfie Amadeus for the amazing track, Octopi, which is our theme music. See you soon. Bye-bye.